The most critical research to conquer disease on this earth was conducted between 1930 and 1963, but has been overlooked for about 80 years. This neglected area of research reveals why it's possible for people to heal themselves at home and lays the scientific foundation of all the healing arts. In a simple sense, there is a perfect living environment of the cells where the body is perfectly healthy. Healthy cells mean a healthy body. As you may expect, there is also the opposite of healthy, or an imperfect environment of the cells for cancer, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and every other ailment. With everything you've learned about your body, what have you known about your lymphatic system? Have you realized that you have more lymph vessels going through your body than you have blood vessels? What does that tell you about their importance to your body? The reason we ask is, healthy cells mean a healthy body, and in order to understand cellular environment and just how the cells work, we must first understand the fluid exchange at the cell level, and we must know that we have two circulatory systems in the body. The blood vessels are there to bring oxygen and nutrients to the cells, while the lymphatic vessels are there to maintain or reestablish the healthy environment so the cells can get the oxygen and nutrients from the blood. Without oxygen, a cell, of course, suffers and can die. To quote medical doctor and past president of the International Society of Lymphology, Dr. John R. Casley Smith, from a proposal for a lymphatic manifesto that he made in 1983, quote, "While the lymphatic system is one of the 12 to 14 systems of the body, it receives almost no attention from the medical profession nor from basic scientists. In textbooks of medicine, surgery, pathology, or anatomy, it rarely occupies more than 0.5% of space. While this may improve with time and the efforts of people such as ourselves, the fact remains that many millions of people will suffer because of this widespread ignorance. Some will lose their lives, some will lose their limbs. Many will suffer needless pain and incapacity. Many research workers will get incorrect results. All of this through simple ignorance of the importance of the lymphatics." End of quote. Not only that, there are less than half the medical schools in the United States today than there were before the AMA and FDA were set up. Those who are all about control need to limit the number of people in key positions. Why is the lymphatic system so important to maintaining your health? Just as importantly, if it plays such a vital role, why aren't these truths being taught? Because these truths should be taught to everyone of all ages, and especially in every college, university, and the remaining medical schools that still exist in the United States. Well, in learning about the lymph, we also come to understand more about the blood. Blood is about 91% water, and the blood proteins hold the water in the blood. But carefully consider this. The blood loses half of the blood proteins every 24 hours, and the water goes with them. We would bleed to death internally in just a matter of hours if not for the constant, efficient retrieval of this seepage of blood proteins and water by the lymph vessels. The blood proteins are like a water magnet. Wherever they go, the water goes. Before Dr. Starling's time, Dr. Cecil K. Drinker and Dr. H.S. Mersin, which was before 1930, the blood proteins were thought to be too large to leave the bloodstream. The sad thing is, teachers and the writers of textbooks, as well as for medical schools, are still teaching the old research from the medical dark ages. If you want to check on this for yourself, you may want to write this down. Dr. H.S. Mersin is known as the father of lymphology in the United States. The American Medical Association documented his research by publishing it in their official journal, Today's Health. In the December issue of 1964, the article was called Your Other Circulatory System. Here is where we're told the truth. It reads, quote, loss of blood proteins through capillary walls would be particularly disastrous. Recently, Dr. H.S. Mersin of Tulane Medical School tagged blood proteins with radioactive iodine, then measured the rate at which they passed into lymph vessels. Calculations indicated that half of our blood protein is lost from the blood every 24 hours. But for the prompt retrieval of the protein by the lymphatic system, this constant loss would spell swift catastrophe. If the lymphatic system did not carry a large portion of the remaining seepage back to the bloodstream, we would all bleed to death internally in a matter of hours. The last paragraph of this article says, thus, this great river of mystery may well hold the key to dozens of disease riddles. That is why it is getting ever-increasing research attention. Inevitably, discoveries of vital importance to all will be made. Well, it holds the key to not just two or three dozen diseases, but every single disease there is. And those discoveries were made, but that's the last thing they've said about it. I have the American Medical Association Home Encyclopedia, published in 1989. On page 182, under blood proteins, it reads, quote, another type of plasma protein is albumin. The large size of the protein molecules prevents them from escaping from the blood into the tissues. This helps to hold in the water content of the blood by osmotic pressure and thus maintain blood volume. Well, knowing what the AMA published as far back as 1964, it can be noted that the AMA is still publishing the old research. But why? What about those discoveries of vital importance to all? Instead of talking about the albumin leaving the bloodstream, they tell us, quote, the large size of the protein molecules prevents them from escaping from the blood into the tissues, end of quote, which eliminates the possibility of becoming trapped around the cells. We want the people to know the truth. The truth of the matter is, the albumin is the smallest of the blood proteins, so it leaves the easiest, and it's the one we're most concerned with. Lymph fluid is mainly albumin and water. In the cerebral spinal fluid, there exists albumin with the fibrinogen, and in the blood, there are all three blood proteins, namely albumin, fibrinogen, and globulin, with the albumin making up about 70% of these proteins. Without the seven golden discoveries and two basic formulas, as taught in the Golden 7 Plus 2, the medical establishment remains in the medical dark ages. For example, attempts by the medical establishment to normalize albumin levels for hypoalbuminemia and other diseases have only caused more people to suffer and die, which has been well documented over the past 20 years. The medical establishment's solution has been to treat these patients by adding commercial albumin to their bloodstream. So they're only putting more albumin in the blood, and they are not removing the excess, trapped, and locked albumin from the interstitial spaces of the cells. It's now been determined that commercial albumins are immunosuppressive, and with our research, it's easy to understand why they would come to that conclusion. But they still don't understand. The basic research presented here was done by members of the medical profession. Could it be that the AMA is still publishing the old research because the new research is insignificant, or that it's just being misplaced or overlooked somehow? Call it what you want. Why did Dr. Casley Smith write a proposal for a lymphatic manifesto? Call it what you want. In the end, the truth always remains to be the truth. It's time to put the truth first. Race for the truth. Truth in action. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So, race for the truth. As the medical profession begins to accept these truths and understand the importance of fluid exchange at the cell level and cellular environment, then they'll begin to come out of the medical dark ages. The lymph vessels not only parallel the blood vessels, they also go up between the cells. They're even more extensive and vital to our health. To see how this works, use your hand as a chart. This is the most basic understanding of lymphology and its importance. Look at your hand and follow along. Make a fist out of your hand. Now extend your thumb. Now extend your forefinger over your thumb so that it goes side by side and parallel to your thumb. Now visualize your finger as the blood vessel, your thumb as the lymphatic vessel, and the cells are in between them. The blood vessel is on top, the lymphatic vessel is on bottom, and the cells are between them. Now pull the thumb and finger close together, but don't touch them. When the blood and lymphatic vessels are close together like that, the cells have a close contact with each other, and there is only just enough water around the cells to fill the interstitial spaces around the cells. Dr. Mersin and Dr. Drinker called it the steady state, and Dr. Arthur C. Guyton scientifically documented it as the dry state, a term we have adopted. Dr. Guyton was a student of Mersin. He is also the author of The Medical Textbook of Physiology. Dr. Guyton's dry state discovery revealed that the healthy environment of the cells is a negative sub-atmospheric pressure condition with, as we stated, just enough water around the cells to fill the crevices around them. This is the perfect living condition for the cells, and thus there is no disease there. Re-examine your hand as you were holding it. Now pull the thumb and finger further and further apart. This represents the imperfect environment of the cells. The space between your fingers represents the excess water accumulating with the dead cells and poisons in there, blocking access to oxygen. As we know, cells malfunction in lack of oxygen. That is the condition for every single disease on earth. Now, when we activate our lymphatic system, it works like a vacuum. Now pull your thumb back close to your finger again. Our lymphatic system has the ability to pull out all the excess water, as well as the dead cells and poisons, completely destroying them. When and only when you bring the cells back into the healthy condition do they have the energy they need to function properly. The cells can reproduce and heal at a speed that is almost impossible for most people to believe. Given the right circumstances, the healing can be almost instantaneous. What do you think about that? As simple as this sounds, it's the basis of our study, and we know it's the truth. Now, take your other hand and cover up the thumb. Just grab onto it so nobody can see it. What happens if people can't see the thumb? What happens if they can't see the lymphatic vessels, and they don't even know that the blood proteins do escape from the blood into the tissues? They can't see how this works. This is the root of the medical dark ages. The doctors are just doing what they've been taught. With less than one page of every 200 textbook pages of medicine, anatomy, pathology, and physiology devoted to explain the lymphatic system to them. That is a very tiny amount of learning, considering the fact that the lymphatic vessels are even more extensive than the blood vessels, and that we are mostly lymph. You have a whole separate circulatory system in your body that is even more extensive than your blood vessels, and most likely, you don't even know what turns it on. Well, when you learn how to activate your lymphatic vessels, you actually learn how it's possible to keep your body free of loss of energy, pain, and disease. And where there is no need, there is no money. As we have stated, the lymph vessels work like a vacuum. They're lined with one-way check valves and move the fluid a little bit at a time, and it comes through these vessels until it dumps it back into the bloodstream at the subclavian vein at the base of the neck. This is the mechanism for retrieving the blood proteins and water back to the bloodstream. After filtering out toxins, it completes the circle with blood proteins and water as it brings it back in the bloodstream in a pure state. Now, if the lymph system doesn't move, where do the poisons stay? In the body. And people wonder why they get sick. See, they're bringing the groceries in and not taking the garbage out. The lymph nodes produce lymphocytes and other cells, and these cells have the ability to phagocytize, ingest, and destroy the poisons and toxins before it dumps it back into the bloodstream. This brings us back in a pure state. It's wonderful. The lymphatic system is our purification system. What a beautiful system to have! How do the cells really work? How do the cells give the brain, the eyes, the mouth, and the muscles the power to do what they do? Here's briefly how it works. The first discovery reveals that the life processes and the healing processes are one and the same, and it reveals that all the cells work electrically. Now, people have been talking about the body being electrical lately, but where is that energy actually generated? All the doctors know that each cell in the body has a sodium-potassium pump in it. My father, Dr. C. Samuel West, was nominated for Nobel Prizes, such as the 2003 Nobel Prize in Chemistry, which was awarded for research done on the sodium-potassium pump. Dr. C. Samuel West was the first person to even call it the sodium-potassium pump, and just what that pump really does has been totally overlooked. Dr. C. Samuel West was the first person in the world to teach that the sodium-potassium pump generates electricity, and that it generates the electric energy that all of the cells in all of the various parts of the body need to work properly. Prior to that time, there was something called a sodium pump and something else called a potassium pump. In fact, Dr. Arthur C. Guyton had known about the sodium pump and the potassium pump. And he heard Dr. West teaching about his belief that the sodium-potassium pumps generate electricity at the 1979 Congress of Lymphology in Florence, Italy. And in Dr. Guyton's next edition of the Medical Textbook of Physiology, he said, quote, "The sodium-potassium pump is an electrogenic pump because it generates electricity whenever it pumps." End of quote. What this pump really does has been almost entirely ignored. Where does the energy come from that gives the eyes the power to see? The heart the power to beat? The sodium-potassium pumps in the cells of the eyes and the heart. Where does the energy come from that gives the muscles power so you can walk and run and perform feats of strength? The sodium-potassium pumps in the cells of the muscles. Where does the energy come from that gives the brain the power to work faster than a computer? The sodium-potassium pumps in the cells of the brain. The same is true for every organ in every part of the body. Cells generate power. The cells give the body the power to heal itself. Through understanding chemistry, we know that atoms are made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons, and we know that our bodies work like a computer, only a lot better. If the sodium-potassium pumps in the cells of every part of your body are able to generate the electric energy that the cells need to function properly, you will be totally free of disease and pain. What do you think about that? Now, the first two questions my father asked when he discovered the sodium-potassium pump, he said, all we have to do is ask two questions, and it's game over. Those two magical questions are, what shuts the generators off, and what turns them back on again? Because if we know what shuts them off, it's the cause of all the problems. They name the problems according to where the cells don't work, how it affects that part of the body, or who discovered it. So who cares what they call it? The cells don't work. And knowing what turns them back on again is the secrets to the solutions. So, what shuts the sodium-potassium pumps off to cause pain and disease? Trapped blood proteins. The blood proteins have a negative charge, which also pulls the positive single sodium ions out in abundance. There is a very delicate balance of these electrolytes. Every living cell, whether plant or animal, has a very delicate balance of sodium and potassium. The rotation of these electrolytes generates the electric power cells need to work. If you alter it, the cell doesn't have the energy to work properly. Plus, it takes oxygen for the pump to work. It takes glucose and oxygen to make adenosine triphosphate, abbreviated ATP, which is the substance that turns the sodium-potassium pumps on. So, it takes oxygen for the pump to work. So what you need to know is it's the responsibility of the lymphatic vessels to pull out all the blood proteins and water, along with the dead cells, poisons, and excess sodium, to maintain the chemical balance and to bring oxygen to the cells. This is what we're not being told. This is what is not being taught anywhere else. The trapped blood proteins alter the life processes of the cells, and the cells don't have the energy they need to work properly. What about cancer? What is a tumor, really? The definition of the word tumor is to swell. Why not explain it? In fact, all diseases identify with swelling, inflammation, or excess fluid. Cells malfunction even genetically in lack of oxygen. Even microorganisms become parasitic in lack of oxygen. Also, there are all kinds of secondary causes of trapped blood proteins. Anytime we break the mental, nutritional, or physical laws of health. But the trapped blood protein is the only substance inside the body which has the ability to bring out the water and to alter the healthy environment of the cells. Therefore, the trapped blood protein is the prime cause of disease and death. Well, inside the tumor, there's really no activity. One thing we've learned is that when the sodium-potassium pumps shut off like that, the blood proteins stick like glue and lock. They cluster like cement. This is what causes the tumor and what makes the tumor hard. Now, another discovery is when we put that much energy back in there, the blood proteins unlock and dissipate so that they can be removed by the lymph vessels. Some people call it liquefying the lymph, but we can teach you how it works. As the energy comes out of an area, the blood proteins cluster and lock. And when we put that much energy back in, they unlock and dissipate. We aren't talking about a whole lot of energy. Just the amount of energy that the cells normally produce, which is why people can do it by themselves. We have live video footage showing lymphocytes eating up the cancer cells. Imagine that. But the lymphocytes must be in the healthy environment, because we also have live video footage to show that they can otherwise just sit there like a new car with a new engine out of gas. Dr. Otto Warburg from Germany was nominated for Nobel Prizes. He proved that in excess water and lack of oxygen, the glucose that good cells need sits there and ferments, and the cancer cells live on it. He's withdrawn oxygen from perfectly healthy cells, and they turn cancerous every single time, no matter what their prior genetics was. Well, outside the tumor is where there's a higher rate of fermenting glucose, and this is where the activity usually is. However, cancer cells are weaker cells. They don't even reproduce as fast as normal cells. They just don't know when to quit. A woman had a breast tumor the size of a tennis ball, so she was at the hospital with surgeries scheduled in 15 minutes. She told Dr. Cliff Dunstan, a certified lymphologist, "I just want to get the tumor cut out so I don't have to worry about it anymore." Well, Cliff helps people with all kinds of problems, and as she saw the look on his face, she said, "Well, I'll give you 15 minutes to do whatever you want to do, but then I have to go in for surgery." Cliff said, "15 minutes. Okay, well, let's see what we can do." So he went to work doing everything he'd ever been taught within those 15 minutes. Then she went in for surgery. Well, the chief surgeon couldn't find the tumor, so he had his assistant try to find it, and the assistant couldn't find the tumor. So they looked at their notes and they said, "Well, we have logged down here, and we know that there was a tumor the size of a tennis ball, and we have never seen anything like this happen before, but we can't find it." So they kept trying to find it. And when they finally found it, it was only the size of a little marble. So they said, "This is too small. We can't operate on this." So Cliff took her breast tumor from the size of a tennis ball down to the size of a little marble in just 15 minutes. This is a good example of what is possible with speed healing and the power heal methods. Most of the tumor was really trapped blood proteins and excess fluid causing the white blood cells and lymphocytes to shut off in that area. What was left over was most likely cancerous tissue. After the trapped blood proteins and excess fluid is removed, the white blood cells and lymphocytes have the energy to start cleaning out the cancerous tissue. How do we stop cancer dead in its tracks? As you pull the excess water out with the dead cells and poisons, the fermented glucose comes out with it. Without the fermented glucose, the cancer dies, and so does the AIDS virus. It all falls into the same basic formula. Think of all the cells in the body from head to toe. Again, the diseases are named according to where the cells don't work, how it affects that part of the body, and maybe even who discovered it. So who cares what they call it? The cells don't work. They're like a new car with a new engine out of gas. If you look into a blind person's eyes, they're not dead. If they were dead, they would rot. They're just out of gas. Just as you prime the pump to get the gas from the tank to the engine, you activate lymphatics when the cells run out of gas. In lack of oxygen, the muscles shrivel up, and this causes MS, polio, and the curvature of the spine. If they shrivel up in the back and the neck, people get migraine headaches and lower back problems. If you get lack of oxygen in the heart, the eyes, or the brain, it will cause people to have a heart attack, go blind, or go senile. This opens up our minds to the point that we know that it is possible to heal our own body at home, and that the body has the ability to heal almost instantaneously, given the right circumstances. About 30 years ago, an 11-month-old baby boy of the Glick family in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, fell into a septic tank. Where he fell, the tank was divided, so it took about 10 minutes to find him. After several weeks in the hospital, he came out blind, and the doctors said he had permanent brain damage. The boy's physicians told the parents that this little baby would be blind and an invalid for the rest of his life. But remember, the doctors don't know how to activate the lymphatic vessels to get oxygen to the cells. They're still in the medical dark ages. When they got home, the family went to work on that little baby's lymphatic system. With the training provided from the Applied Lymphology course, they were able to pull the dead cells out, bring the oxygen in, turn the sodium-potassium pumps on in the eyes and the brain, and in 5 days the eyesight was restored and there was no brain damage. That little baby was 100% healed. What about diabetes? If the cells in the pancreas are in the healthy condition we described earlier with your hand, you will never have diabetes as long as you live. If you have diabetes, a doctor will tell you that you'll probably have to be on synthetic insulin for the rest of your life. Then you'll go into high blood pressure, which is due to the excess water creating a positive pressure around the cells. If enough pressure builds up, it will collapse the blood vessels on both sides. Then you'll go into heart disease, which is just more excess water. Then you'll go blind, which is more excess water. In the last stages of diabetes, there's so much water in the body, the gravity pulls it down into the legs. As the legs swell up with water, they die, and then the doctors cut them off. Perhaps the same doctor that prescribed the insulin. That's just exactly what happens. Activate the lymphatics and get the cells back into the healthy condition to give the cells the power they need to produce insulin, and you don't have diabetes anymore. An important note, if a diabetic just stops taking their synthetic insulin products, they could die very quickly. However, after the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas start to produce insulin again, then they have to wean themselves off of the synthetic insulin products. What about the mental, nutritional, and physical laws? How do these basic pure laws and principles fit into this research? Dr. H.S. Meyerson was on the shock committee between 1954 and 63. They published the research on trauma and surgical shock in 1953, 56, and 60 in the Encyclopedia Americana. It's interesting to note how this shock research was also done around the same time period and was published in 1953, 56, and 60, then just disappears and is more or less buried with the rest of the blood protein research. Death from shock is called hypoalbuminemia. It means low albumin in the blood. We have the research on trauma and surgical shock. How fast can the stress or shock factors kill you? Have you ever heard this story, for soldiers in war, the bullet didn't kill him, but the shock did? Or for suicide jumpers who jump off the really tall buildings, he was dead before he hit the ground? Most of the time in war, it's not the bullet that kills the soldier, it's the shock. Here's how it happens. The stress or shock factors cause the capillaries in the blood vessels to dilate, which allows the water to come rushing out of the bloodstream. Remember what we showed you with your hand. Well, the blood is about 91% water, and it can come out so fast that the blood vessels just collapse, leaving the person dead on the spot. And that's why with shock, they give them a blood transfusion, or sometimes commercial albumin, to try to save their life. If the stress or shock process happens slower, you still have loss of energy, pain, or disease. We must consider mental health. If we are going to conquer disease on this earth, we have to establish peace in the process. With all the fear, hate, anger, and loss of temper, the stress is a mild form of shock. Consider nutrition. We should eat foods and use personal care products that are good for the body. If a dog is fed poison, the first thing it goes for is water, because the poisons cause trapped blood proteins which bring the water out of the blood. When enough water leaves the blood, it makes you thirsty. Remember, the poisons are the problem here. The water that we drink is to replace the water lost from the blood. Poisons are poisons because they dilate blood capillary pores and allow the blood proteins to leave the bloodstream much faster than the lymph vessels can retrieve them. The end result is still trapped blood proteins. What about physical wellness? Although muscles don't activate lymphatics alone, deep breathing does. There is no place for the lazy person. Constant shallow breathing can cause cancer. That's right. The shallow breather can get cancer like anyone else. Now, if we keep breaking these basic laws, we can move the trapped proteins out and they come back in again. We know. So all that produces is temporary results unless we combine the mental, nutritional, and physical laws with it. Then we have true prevention. It takes work. How can we guarantee that you will live according to these laws? That you won't fight, argue, and quarrel, that you won't defile your body with poisons in or outside of your body, and that you won't be lazy. We would have to take your basic decision-making abilities away from you first. We would never want to do that, and since that will never happen, how can we guarantee results? How can anyone guarantee results? We guarantee what we are teaching you is the truth. The rest lays within the personal responsibilities of every individual. What activates the lymphatic system? This is the biggest key of all. This is the point where the East and West meet, where medical science and the healing arts meet, and it's the scientific foundation of all the healing arts and all personal development because they all heal lymphatically. And even though the trapped blood proteins can be dissipated many different ways, you see, the new technology that we have been developing to activate the lymphatic system and heal the body is a combination of deep breathing, bouncing, stroking, compressing tissues, and energy. It's a combination of them and just how to do it, where to do it, and how often to do it that has taken us so long to master. The techniques themselves are priceless because they don't cost anything to actually do them, and you can do them laying in bed or sitting in a wheelchair. We could make a list that goes on and on. There are many, many different ways that it can be done, and some things work better than others. When you get into the energy, it's sort of like stepping onto the set of Star Trek and onto the starship Enterprise, because the most powerful healing technologies we have ever seen have to do with energy. We know that herbs have frequencies, and those herbs are all color. At the molecular level, there is no color. All color is electrical frequencies. If not for that, we wouldn't even see color. All vitamins and all minerals have colors, and everything is energy. There are now herbs and minerals that have the ability to go in and feed the cells and build them and increase the vitality of the body. Some of them are very powerful, and when used properly, can reestablish the delicate mineral balance in and around the cells. However, with high concentrated herbs used improperly, the results could be devastating. Homeopathy is one of the greatest sciences and one of the world's oldest sciences. How does a homeopath create a remedy that works? They take pure substances and they put one drop in 9 drops of the distilled water, then they shake it up. That becomes a 1x solution. Then they'll take one drop of that and put it in 9 drops of the distilled water and shake it up. That's a 2x solution. They may take one drop and put it in 99 drops of distilled water and shake it up. There are thousands of different formulas for this. They repeat the process 1,000 times until the original substance can't even chemically be found, but the frequencies get stronger and stronger. That's the principle of homeopathy. The bioscanner technology started in Germany, as practitioners started to put these frequencies into the water with a computer-controlled machine. This technology has been perfected more and more over the years. There's a lot of new high-tech science in this area. The latest bioscanner computers now can read all the frequencies of everything that is in the body. All the bacterias, funguses, viruses, antibodies, and minerals. And they measure the energy going through all the meridians as well as the endocrine glands, which we call power plants. And this technology has become extremely precise. In fact, it has been referred to as homotoxicology, which is the study of the toxins in the human body. There are even units that fit in the palm of the hand. With just a wave over the body, they read over 6,000 different frequencies. These bioscanners can now put over 300 frequencies of different substances in a bottle of water. The people drink it, and it does the same thing. A certified lymphologist has been flown around to teach the bioscanner people why the bioscanners work. Because even though there's a lot of new high-tech science involved, we have a more practical knowledge about why it works than they do. For over 30 years, we've been teaching people how to reproduce these same frequencies just by knowing how the body works. Because we have all the right hardware. We just need the right software and to know how to use it. Every time they invent a new machine, it just teaches us more about what the body can already do. The truth is, some of these new machines can function as a real shortcut in helping people reach their goals. And for over 30 years, we've been giving away the farm because we've been teaching people how to reproduce these same frequencies just by knowing how their body works without the machines. Only there's no repeat business in education. It costs about $30,000 for a nice bioscanner, and that doesn't even include the certification to know how to use it. We've seen people charge $1,000 just to get tested once on some of these bioscanners, and patients are willing to pay for it because it's such a precise test, and perhaps because there are no needles involved. It's interesting and exciting to note that lymphology and the other sciences prove each other. Some people like to have something that they can see, and the bioscanner computers are extremely accurate. Yet there still hasn't been a computer created that works as well as the body does. Some of us with Clarity University, by knowing how the mind and body really work, have shown that our bodies are able to change those tests faster than they've been able to using the bioscanner computers. With these discoveries, we finally understand why all of the healing arts and products work, and why some work better than others. All that most people know about the lymphatic system is, we have lymph nodes up in our neck, under our arm, and in our groin. And very few people realize, as you have already learned by listening to this, that we have more lymph vessels going throughout our body than we have blood vessels. Research scientist Ken Seaton is an authority on the albumin in the blood. Since 1959, he's been searching for the secrets to strength, good health, and preventing aging. He says albumin is the life factor. For years and years, doctors and scientists have known, with a few exceptions, that generally speaking, the higher a person's albumin level in the blood is, the healthier that person is. In fact, Ken's research shows that if we get our mean albumin levels in the blood up to 55 grams per liter, our average lifespan is about 125 years. However, if they drop down to about 39 grams per liter, our average lifespan is only 65 years. But other doctors and scientists haven't really known why. For a lymphologist, this makes perfect sense. We are the top experts on trapped blood proteins causing death. And as the albumin seeps out of the bloodstream, the lymphatic system is responsible for the efficient retrieval of the albumin back to the bloodstream. Therefore, it makes sense that we can get a good measure of how healthy we are just by the albumin level in the blood. Because it's the trapped blood proteins that cause death. And it's the albumin retrieval that we are so concerned with. As the albumin gets trapped, the albumin level in the blood drops. Will Green is the founder and president of the International Massage Association, which is now the largest massage association in the United States. He credits success to his education from the Applied Lymphology course. Nearly two decades ago, he was just a typical massage therapist doing about 20 massages a week. Within 30 days of receiving the Applied Lymphology course, he doubled his business to 40 massages a week. After a while, he built that up to about 60 massages a week, and there still hasn't been a muscle come to him that he hasn't been able to fix ever since he received the Applied Lymphology course. Will went on to become the first massage therapist in the world to make $1 million doing massage. That's a lot of massage. As an organization, our main purpose is in education, teaching people how to live the pure laws and principles of prevention, and why and how it's possible to go from the medical dark ages to zero disease at home. The Applied Lymphology course is designed for home study use. For those who don't have this course is your only option to learning this information. And Zero Disease is your source of the Applied Lymphology course. You may want to listen to this presentation over and over. Consider what you've learned, and if you come to find that you like what you've heard and are ready to choose Zero Disease for yourself and your loved ones, pick up the phone and make the phone call to the person who gave you this audio.